To a second season of this here Thriving Moment, brought to you from a ministry onto its own. The Sovereign Light Talk Show. Live from Belize, Central America, I am your hostess, Reverend Maria Arvanites. I am so revved. Are you feeling the excitement, folks? With us here today are very special guests from Phoenix, Arizona, Nancy Hazelett.
Oh my goodness, welcome. Welcome, Nancy. How are you doing today?
I'm great, and thanks for having me. So I'm having fun already. I love that intro.
We're just starting out, folks. So this episode is Lap Dances for Jesus, and what is the Key Vesta, and what is it for? With Nancy Hazelett. Nancy's incarnation started in Kansas in the late 50s, in simpler times, before humanity took technological leap, rather. However, her curiosity was never quelled. Growing up, the truth of religion and life would never be answered in the Midwest, where the Bible Belt is. A graduate in 1976 from Lawson High School in the mid-80s, she attended college whilst also doing modeling and theater, and as a single parent of three children during that time. And after 2 years of college in the late 80s, a calling to move her further west landed her in Phoenix, Arizona, working at UPS, UPS at the time, for about 7 years, Universal, Parcel Services. And while working at Universal Parcel Services, Nancy did some extra work in a movie called Sunstroke with Jane Seymour. This was filmed back in 1992, rather, and taking the buyout at UPS at the time, Nancy started her own pager carrier business called Queen Beepers. And for 19 months, her venture was sponsored by King of Beepers, JJ's Ads Marketing. Through various events, she was prompted to step out of the corporate world and to becoming a dancer, a burlesque dancer in a small club. It was during those 12 years that Nancy's spiritual journey started taking her deep down into multiple rabbit holes, nudging at her awareness repeatedly, the numbers 1111. So after becoming a Reiki master, it had awakened her to be able to see through the many programs of illusions from the system's matrix construct. As a passionate truth seeker, Nancy's depiction of life's worldviews has finally been put together in 144 chapters of her book, Lap Dances for Jesus. The book is an apocalyptic deep dive into the trenches of the Earth's first casualties of war truth seekers, exposing that which has imprisoned our minds from seeing the truth. And, you know, those people were all suggestible dummies for the most part until we wake up. And this is Nancy's mission, to wake us up. And today, Nancy continues teaching, connecting the dots for us and herself by creating websites, and as a muse, mastering to help those with creative blocks expand their consciousness to find their way. In this episode, Nancy will also share with us from her experience this practice called Key Vesta, you know, the basic fundamentals to explore through an initiate's process firsthand and what exactly it is, and also the Diamond Reiki practice as a practitioner that she is a master in. She will also delve into that first a little bit, hopefully. Thank you so very much. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoy this. This is great, but wow. That was a great intro for my life there. Well, with the Queen Beavers thing, I wasn't sponsored by JJ. He was actually, he inspired my marketing and the name of my business because he was the King of Beavers, right? And he spent like $250,000 a year on marketing. So I thought, I'm going to use that for my advantage as a counterpart against him. And I started doing Queen Beaver, you know, so don't get stung by the king, get buzzed by the queen. So that was my marketing concept for to get attention using his marketing. And the TV crews hated him because he would put bikini clad women on his billboards and stuff, and they didn't like him. I don't know why, but he marketed it the way he did. He was successful at it. Mm-hmm. But you know, he didn't see me as a threat. He said he told one of his good friends that he says, I heard she's pretty, you know. He had no worries I was gonna, you know, do anything to his business. But that's what I did for 19 months. It was a joint venture to build a pager air carrier business and then sell it. So,
right. Yes.
That was after UPS.
Also, Nancy's favorite quotes that I must say here is a few of them that I will repeat here that you have from your Facebook, rather, I think. So she has, yes. Wherever you go, there you are. I love that. That is so authentic.
Right. It's like people don't stop to think, where am I? Why am I here right now? What am I doing?
You know, I love your quotes because they're so original and their, you know, sense of humor and you know, like this other one for sure. If someone shows you who they really are, you know, like, believe them.
Right. Yeah. That's an old saying that's been going around for a long time, but it's like, you know, they keep saying, but I love them, but you know, wait a minute.
Until they prove otherwise, the same goes for trust, right? You?
Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do.
Mm-hmm. And right. The other one, I really like this one. To be or to do, just be a doobie.
Right, doobie doobie doo.
I love that one. That's just hilarious.
Yeah, I've been saying that one for a long time. I mean, because people always try to say to be this or be that, you know, because the matrix is full of labels. You know, they want to label you and box you in, and then wait a minute, I'm all things, I'm everything, you know, don't put me in a box, right?
Very good.
So do and be and do whatever, you know, wherever you go, don't put yourself in that label.
And then you have another one, in the moment, right? The null right? point, canceling illusions as expressions of the infinite in the perfection of oneness. That is so deep diving.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sometimes I don't understand myself.
Are you there?
Sometimes when you look at what you said with your book, you're like channeling, right? You're like, sometimes you get it and you don't know where it comes from. It's just like, woo.
Yeah, I think it's spiritualjourneys.com. You also put the credits in there for that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. They may have been from her.
And so now this other thing, that you were in, what is this other, you know, you were in the 1992, it's called Heat Stroke or something like that?
Oh, Sunstroke with Jane Seymour. Oh, that was an awesome experience. I was working full-time at UPS, and of course I had 3 kids, but then I had went to this agency, they were hiring extras, they put an ad up online for this movie that Jane Seymour was doing in town. Well, they did it at some old nightclub over in Scottsdale, the part that I was in, and it took like 12 hours. This was till like in the morning hours. We were doing this. We're walking up and down the street, we're in the club. And then at dinner time, we all sat down and had dinner. They served everybody dinner, and Jane Seymour sat right down next to us and was sitting there talking to us. And she's real little. She's nice. She was saying that she needed to rent out her castle over in England because she said that her maids and everybody were having too much fun. They were throwing parties at her house. And so later on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, I saw that she actually started renting out her castle. So she did follow through with what she had planned to do because she didn't want her maid staff and everybody, acting like that place was their own and having parties and people over. And so she was working so much in the States. So she was pretty.
I have no idea who this woman was until you started telling me about it. And then I looked it up to see about the movie. And I actually watched it last night, the movie. But I
Oh, well, did you see me in there? You could barely see me in the club. And they told me to quit moving so much because it was distracting from their character and that they were filming. See, when they film without music when they're dancing on the floor. And so we're supposed to act like the music is going. So I was sitting there acting like the music was going. I chose to sit in the seat, not get out on the dance floor. And then so it was like just him and her, the main characters, on the dance floor together, and they were supposed to be having this emotional moment. And they went cut, and they went over to me and said, "Don't move." I said, "Okay," because I had this bright blonde hair, so you can see me for a couple of seconds in the background there, behind them, a couple of times. And that all took 12 hours, and it was 2 seconds I was in there. But yeah, so it was interesting to find out how they do these filmings and stuff. So they put the music in later.
Wow, but that's something to add to your resume if you want to continue into the acting world, right?
Yeah, and I did my own commercials too for Queen Beavers, and I have that as well. But
Wow.
that was fun.
I'd love to see that. I mean, like,
That
oh.
was fun. I got lots of calls, and they would air them after Jerry Springer and those shows. So I
Sexy.
got it for Beepers because that was your target audience, is people who couldn't afford at the time. Cell phones were real expensive, and they were this big brick that you carried around, and or they were just starting to get into the smaller ones. But that during that time it was pagers, if you wanted to get a hold of somebody. And they still had pay phones. Now they
Yeah.
don't have pay phones anymore, and it's horrible going to a pay phone in Arizona, because when I had my business during that time and I got paged, I would have to go find a pay phone, and then I would you would put a various pay phone to your ear and would burn your ear because it was so hot. Or people would put gum on them. It was just horrible. Pay phones, but you can't find them anymore. Try to find a pay phone now.
Yeah, right? Unless it's like for decoration or like aesthetics to make, like kind of for filming.
Yeah, and it also became a legal issue, is that the people who had the pay phones on their property had to maintain that service. Otherwise, if there was an emergency and nobody could get through to emergency service on that payphone, they were liable. So I think that's why a lot of these businesses took payphones out.
Okay. So I think we kind of are covering how you got here, and this would be like
Yeah.
chapter one. I don't know. Right now I'm seeing 21 chapters here. I'm not seeing all 144, but there are a few questions here that I would like for us to discuss a little further on it. Okay, so chapter one on lap dances for Jesus is how did I get here? And then who was Jesus in your opinion, through your eyes and your perspective? And then what did Jesus say in the Bible? Okay. And then real history, and then you have growing up in the Bible Belt, and then spirituality of a dancer. Yeah, tell us, what is the spirituality of a dancer?
Uh-oh, you froze up.
Did I?
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, you're kind of, you froze up and then you kind of jerked a little. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Technical.
Okay, so what else? How was the Bible religion and extinct read? Let me see. I'm having a hard time reading this. Science is magic, or magic is science. Easter Sunday. Who is the God of this world? Logic of creation, metaphysical laws, and holographic quantum reality. Did you want to discuss a little bit of that?
Oh, which one? All the first chapters, or all the like the quantum stuff?
Oh, okay. So let's start. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you kind of take us through spirituality of a dancer?
Okay. Well, I think a lot of times when you you try to figure out why you have a calling to do something, or you think you're led to something by coincidence or synchronicity, which I don't believe in coincidence, but I kept feeling like, why did I become a dancer? At that moment, I'm thinking, why? Because a couple of guys with a tie and they were had their Bibles, and they come in and they are like trying to put me down for being a dancer, right? And I looked at them, I go, what are you doing here? Where's your bike? Where's your Bible? You know, I go, how can you stand in here and judge me? You're the one in here. I'm in here making money. You are in here for a different reason. I mean, why are you trying to save me? You know, I'm just in here making money. But anyway, then I started thinking, why am I here? Well, I felt like I was there for a reason. And I think it was mostly to understand why I judged dancers. Because back when I was working at UPS, I rode a bike to and from work every day. And I would ride by Alaskan Bush Company, which was a nightclub for dancers. And I would see them coming out, and I would just kind of smirk and go, man, they need to get a real job or something. You know, I was just like everybody else. I judged it. And so that's why I felt like I was led to understand it, is I judged it. Because in the seven mirrors of the Essenes, it mirrors to you, in the third mirror, I think it is, things that you have judged. So in your life, it's not mirroring you, actually, but it's mirroring things you've judged. So that is very interesting in the Essenes, the seven mirrors of the Essenes, which is the group that was... where Jesus spent a lot of his growing up time with the Essenes, and they were the Magi in the Bible times. So they were actually like magicians, you know. They had the looking glass technology in those days. So, I mean, it's real fascinating when you connect the dots of all that, because most people don't even know a lot of our real history and how that is all connected, and how I ended up in dancing. Because dancers, I mean, that is the hardest job I've ever done of any job there ever was I've done. I mean, of course, UPS was hard, but that was mostly dealing with, you know, office politics and production, you know, but, and then of course, getting to and from work and their schedules. And, but with the, that job, I could name my own hours. So you had to be motivated to show up and do whatever, you know, spend 18, you know, four, six, however many hours dancing. And oh my God, that is hard. Dancing with a pole, it is hard. Every muscle in your body is used. So, and it is hard. And there's all the women there are from all walks of life. There's flight attendants, I mean, just every profession in there. So you would not even know, huh?
This was in Phoenix that you were doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're looking at at this lapdancesforjesus.com. This is where you would find your website. And why did you pick, why did you pick Lap Dances for Jesus?
Well, the guy I was dating at the time, when I first started having this kind of awakening, and this was after I did the Reiki, I was initiated into Reiki. We went to California and I was talking about my idea to write this book, and I was still dancing at the time, and how I'd got these 11-11 prompts, and we were trying to figure out what that meant, number prompts, right? 11-11, it's time. We were going to make t-shirts that said that. And then I said, lap dances for Jesus, you know, or lap dances to Jesus or something. And that's what, and that's how I ended up with Lap Dances for Jesus.
It's funny so we were you just... say that, because 11 to me, it means that crystalline from carbon, you know, we go from carbon-based to silicone to crystalline. And it's the Christite movement. It has to do with the crystalline being transformed, I suppose, and upgraded into the crystalline, which is all about the Jesus movement. And Jesus means anointed one. And then, you know, so
Christ. Well, it's about the Christ consciousness.
The, yes. Exactly.
It's not necessarily about Jesus. But it was more about the Christ conscious on a higher level, because he was an eighth level being. But I consider him more like a time traveler kind of, you know, person. When you come into this matrix, you have to incarnate. You just can't pop in. Like, you know, they were trying to say with angels and everything. That's a whole other thing. But what he was trying to do is wake them up at that time, because what these people were following was giving their power away to a god outside of them, right? And he was trying to tell them, you have that power, you have it within you, the kingdom of heaven is within you. All those hints, the single eye, thine eye be single, your body will be full of light. And that talks about the pineal gland. So we know he talked in allegory and in parable, because I guess maybe they wouldn't have understood if he just outright said, hey, you got a pineal gland, and you know, you need
They wouldn't. They have to.
No, they wouldn't have understood it. So we had to explain it to them in other ways. You know, remember when they were trying, they were casting demons out of people using his name. And his name wasn't Jesus then. It was Yeshua, because Jesus is actually means Hail Zeus in English. And in Gematria, it means, I think it means Lucifer or Satan. It means something else.
Elohim? Perhaps Elohim?
No, the Elohim were a group of El. They were a group of ETs, like the Pleiadians, the... and a whole group of people that decided to come down here and mess around with the DNA of beings that were already here.
So now, in your website, you're showing blue pill, red pill.
Oh, that's view from here. View from here. I wanted to get that webs. I did have at one point tried to get that domain name, but they wanted like $1,000 years ago, and now they want $5,000. Like, I'm not doing that. The red pill, blue pill is, it kind of leads into the Matrix, that the Matrix was a documentary, and that it isn't actually a movie. It explains the choices we make into realizing that this is an illusion, that the earth, the matrix is a hologram, and that to take the red pill is to get to real reality, to take the blue pill is to go back into the illusion. Remember when Alvin was saying it was illusion, it was an illusion. And at that time, I could not even imagine that. I'm like, how could it be an illusion? I feel real, I look, everything feels real. I just couldn't even consciously conceive it. But as time went on and I did more of my research and started connecting the dots, I started to understand it in a quantum thing, in a quantum level. When you start understanding quantum physics and quantum entanglement, then you start to understand how this could be a hologram.
Yes, and how we can take it. See, a lot of us who feel that we don't fit in is
right.
It's partly
me too.
It's partly because we're working from the inside out, not from the outside in. And as much as we try to work from the outside in, we're teachers and we're supposed to be the cause. And we forge the way for everybody else to be the cause. And sometimes they need a rude awakening because everybody's fallen into a slumber. They're very suggestible and they become puppets.
The mind programming that goes on here on a technological level, you wouldn't even believe.
Yeah, we went spiraling into poverty. And when you look at the States, that's a very good example.
That was the plan, though, all along.
And you look
that
at places
the
like
plan
Dubai.
To have a one world government, a one world people that ruled over everyone. So it was to make an entire race, the entire humanity, slaves to a few over us. And that's because the system had been hacked. It's like a technological system, like an illusion, like it was like a game for the gods, right? It was like a game where you come in, you play around, you have fun, you could do anything you wanted in here. But when the dark, the antimatter and the alpha and omega antimatter and the matter, source matter, has the exact same power because it's a duality, right? So the duality, the shadow, the dark, the antimatter, anti-human agenda there was to take over everything, to plunge us into complete darkness and put us in a phantom matrix, because we power this. We're source. We are source is connected to us. We are direct connect to source. We're the source players. And but we forgot. We forgot that because of the mind control programming. And we forgot how much power we have, how much mind power we have through our mind. And so they decided to take over, and all these programs they put us through with all the, I mean, it's amazing any of us survived or even woke up to any of this. And I think the number prompts were part of it, but that is also a program of the Matrix. Maybe that was something we put in for us, like a kill switch, you know, for ourselves to say, hey, man, wake up. It's time to get into what you come here for, you know, what you wanted to do. Right.
So tell me, please, when did you start this book? When was it that you went to California and then you got an apocalyptic revelation that, aha, I should be doing this book? Was this in the 90s?
No, this was like in the beginning of 2003 or so, around there. It was it wasn't too long after I started dancing. And I'd met this guy I was dating for a while. He's the one who took the photographs that I have on my website. Very talented photographer. But on the whole scope of that, I just started that because I started getting these 11-11 prompts. And then I was walking by the TV, and this was when Bush was in there. And I heard him say, he signed something. And I go, oh, my God, they're getting rid of the middle class. It would just popped into my head. And I am not into politics. I never watched the news. I didn't care about all that stuff. Nothing to do with that.
Okay.
So
you went to California and then you started thinking about this book and then you started writing it up. And then you got
into... I started laying out the chapters first on things that... I was kind of curious about connecting the dots, you know, because it's a lot. It's a lot if you just go chronologically and try to connect the dots. But as a whole, if you try to look at it as a whole, it's a whole system. We're so compartmentalized. So Everything is so compartmentalized, and we don't see what's going on over here and the left and the right, right? In the duality of things. So that is why I did that way. I did it kind of backwards, as to a lot of authors do it. And I mean, I don't know for how other authors do it. For me, I had to lay out the chapters of everything and then go from there.
Okay, can you explain to me on it's chapter 19, Metaphysical Laws in the Holographic Quantum Reality. So you have a few laws here, the Law One, the Law of Divine Love, the Law of Physics, the Law of Polarity, the Law of Vibration, the Law of Compensation, the Law of Relativity, the Law of Cause and Effect, the Law of Perpetual Motion, the Law of Manifestation, and how many laws are there? And where does, from what planet? I mean, like,
These are the metaphysical or matrix rules of the matrix, and the duality. You see what I'm saying? Everything has, well, in cause and effect, in this time, it has a gap because we don't want to, and because when we lighten our frequency, we go higher. The gap closes and we manifest instantly, and it happens too fast for us to deal with. In the 3D, that's why we have a gap. So we don't, we there's a delay in our manifestations because our thoughts, I mean, we're creating it as we go, right? I don't necessarily believe in destiny, but in a contract that we supposedly made when we were tricked into coming here, or some of us were tricked to coming in here saying that we had to re undo some karma that we made in that previous life, and we were lied to, and then we forgot. So in that law of matrix, we made a contract saying we were going to do this and this and this, and so then we're set up with these synchronicities that we're going to do this and this and this in our lives. Kind of like a TV show, like a script, kind of like that. But there's always, you're always have the opportunity to decide to create on your own, as we are creating this. If we're creating consciously and not subconsciously, when we're looking at the outside of us and the programs of the matrix that they're throwing at us, fear, you got to be afraid of this, you got to be afraid of that. And
Sorry, go ahead.
yeah, and creating from love, just to not choose from a place of fear and create from a place of love, but as collectively also trying to tell other people, don't be afraid. Why are you afraid? I mean, this is, that's an illusion. They're all trying to get you to create this, because if they can get enough people to agree that this is happening, that's what's going to happen. It also has a lot to do with the weather, because it activates that antimatter technology and then creates the bad weather. You know how they always, it's like they talk about hurricanes like they didn't exist before. Like, oh my God, a hurricane's coming. You know, it's a constant fear horn, like that they put on everybody. So, and it has to do with religion and everything else. When you're creating all these things, it pertains to these laws of the matrix of what we're creating. We're creating it. And I know, as hard as that is to believe, because believe me, I'm like, no way would I agree to this, right?
Your video, and down below, like where mine says Reverend Maria Arvanitidis, acronym RMA, yours says your muse. Is this what people see? What does that mean? What does a muse
Oh,
mean?
I just put that in there. I said put a name in for you.
Oh, so
And
what
I just
do you
put
see?
your muse, because that's what I put everything under when I go under. I didn't know if it was a login thing or what. Because when I do my logins for any kind of accounts, I will use your muse if it's available.
So you
So,
see yourself as a muse. So if people come
well,
to
that's how I started in kind of started in with that because when I went to that, whatever you call those things with Almine, and I run into.
Yeah. And when did you start this thing with the Key Vesta? What year was that?
This was around 2009, 2010, maybe. It's probably more 2010.
Is it? Can you explain to us what Key Vesta means and where you got it from and exactly your experience that you were telling me about that inspired me to make it as one of the titles, part of our
Okay,
episode?
yeah. Well, Key Vesta is a very, interesting and wonderful experience. If you can make it through the program, you have to do it for 30 days straight. I mean, 60 days straight. If you miss a day, you have to start all over. And believe me, I started over a couple of times. And the environment I was in at the time was not a very calm, peaceful environment. It was kind of chaotic for me. And so it was really hard. But once I got to the, I think it was about the third time I started, I got past the 30 or 40 days. I started hearing bells in the hallway, like church bells. It was really wild. And so I was looking up what that means. And that meant that the angels were around. So I was like, wow, that's cool, because I could feel the energy changing. Like I was enveloped in my own environment, and that I was protected from the chaos outside. It was awesome. And so I just hear these bells. I feel protected in that environment. And then, like the last day I was doing it, these cards have wheels on them. And the last day I was doing it, these wheels lifted off the paper and were flying around. And I was sitting there going, wow, this is cool. And other people were in the room, but they didn't see it, but I saw it. I was like, wow, these things are beings. They are actual beings. So I was loving it. But as it came, that time, I didn't continue on with it. I wish I had of, but I didn't continue on with it. And I didn't have the cards any longer, because the cards that I had were put in storage. And then I lost the storage, and then eventually I didn't have a printer, and then so I have thought about getting back into it, because it is a really magical. I think she mentioned it was a manifesting thing or something, a system, manifesting system.
Okay, so what do you mean by cards? And what are these cards? And what are these beings that you're saying? What does all that mean to someone who doesn't know anything about that?
Well, as we know, they are beings that you can't see, right? And in this matrix, there's like angels. We can't see them, but we know they exist. And people who've passed over, they're around, but we can't see them. Only some people who have the ability to either open their third eye, they can see into the other realm, in these other realms, and see them. So it's a different frequencies. Well, these wheels, I believe, exist in other frequencies. They are actual beings, just like numbers. And that's another thing that just recently came into my understanding, is about numbers, that they're alive. And so are these wheels that are on the cards. Now, I don't remember how many cards there are
Are
in
you
the deck.
talking about sigils?
No, they're not sigils. The sigils are in the Bhavasvatha, yeah, for the angels. The sigils just represent the frequency of those angels, when you say their names and the frequency. See, everything is frequency and vibration. On the level of vibration and frequency are two different things, but on the frequency, like in names, that's why when you'll say that Yahweh was actually Enlil, or when you say Thoth was actually Quetzalcoatl, right? Because their name changes as their frequency changes. So the sound changes, right? And frequency. Like if you understand cymatics. Have you seen cymatics?
Yes, I've seen the what
So
Russians.
how sound makes these shapes, right? So it's the same with this matrix. It's all frequency, and we're locked into this one frequency band of what we can see because they've locked us into this. They've put it, made it a closed system.
Like 3.5, you were saying before, right? 3.5.
No, the 3.5 is where those beings went, those, I don't know, those ET beings or interdimensional beings went who were humanoid, but they were on another planet in our realm, and they tried to advance in ascension technologically, but they ended up in 3.5. And humanity was down in 3.0, but we're starting to rise and we're about to their level now, which is why they were able to come here. And they were trying to, because they're going extinct. What they made a grave error when they did what they did, because now they can't progress ascension with us organically. We're ascending organically, humanity is. And that's why it's such a fierce attack on humanity right now, because they know they can't exist in that realm.
We're already at 10G.
No, I'm talking about in our 3D frequency, our realm that we are in. We're going up to the fourth
Okay.
dimension. And so we're at the very least, we'll be in the fourth dimension for a while, and then we'll move on up to five. But these beings that want to stop us know they can't exist there. The antimatter, dark energy beings, these ETs and beings, they're not even, they don't have souls. They're soulless. There's and they can't create like us. They're called the Archons. I don't know if you understand what the Archons are. It's in the Gnostic texts. They are the mental AI. Technological beings that want to keep humanity in a certain level, because then they will continue to exist. That's why they want to flip us into a phantom matrix, because they need us. We're like the batteries, right? We're the ones that run this construct, the source players, the power. And I know it sounds crazy, but that's how it works. So, and since we're creating it all, you know,
Back to the angels of the Key Vesta, can you explain the sit not the sigils, but what are those called? Those wheels?
they're the wheels. They're the wheels. They represent those beings. Like in the lines, they're kind of like sigils in the wheels, but they're like a wheel. Like, have you ever seen orbs?
Yes, is this like an emblem?
Kind of, it would kind of be like that. It would be like a sigil, but more complete, like a like an orbs, what orbs are. Like when you're in the third dimension and a fifth dimensional being comes into the third dimension, we can't see them as they actually are. What we see is orbs because of our 3D visual perception of them. But in reality, they actually look like us, but in that reality or whatever they look like, we can't see them as they actually are, and because they're fifth dimensional frequency. But when they come down in the third dimensional, we only see them as orbs. So I think that's what the Key Vesta is kind of like. They are actually beings, maybe angels, I don't know. I don't remember her saying they were angels,
And how
but
many are there?
oh my God, I know there's over 100. I don't remember how many the deck is. Do you have the website in front of you on there?
No, actually, I don't, but I do have the Elfin Quest that was given to me by Rani means husband. So when you buy enough oils, they always get some kind of little present or a treat, you know, the, her fragrance oils. That I was really right.
Oh, yeah, that was when in that Sedona pod when I met my people that I'd been in previous lives with in Egypt and in Greek times. That was kind of what led me up to saying I was a muse, because I really enjoyed helping. I helped a guy who was a screenwriter, and I helped him get through a really rough time where he had a writer's block and he couldn't access his creative side and ideas for his scripts. So I collaborated with him and helped him get out of that, you know, help make his environment more, you know, congruent with a creative flow, you know.
Well, that's what you do. If people come and find you on lapdancesforjesus.com, they're going to see how they can contact you. And then you also have a pop-up at the lower right corner that comes up and says, hi, how are you? Do you want to chat? And, you know, you offer advice, and then people can pay you after that or some kind of package, and you can talk to them.
Yeah, just contact me and we'll be working out. But I had that meeting with them, and then the Key Vesta I did after. But at that Sedona pod, we had to translate the elf
in
translation,
mm-hmm.
And they did a prediction. I have that whole script of when we did that. I posted it on Facebook a long time ago. And they had mentioned Trump. And during that whole thing, when I was the one having to write it down, right? And I could hardly write it down because I kept having this somebody knocking my elbow. I look behind me, there's nobody behind me, right? But somebody goes, oh, there's this elf. Well, they had this ornery elf who was doing all kinds of mischief at that pod. And he was doing all kinds of things. And I think Elmany was saying, I'm going to need to ask him to leave. After that, but she couldn't really do anything about it before because.
What is a pod? What is a pod?
That's her, what they used to call her retreats or whatever she calls them.
Oh, now. Okay.
Yeah, she used to call them pods.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That was before all that, you know, but.
So, Elf and Quest is a different other kind of thing, but with the Key Vesta, it's 60 days, but you went as far as 40. And then,
no, I went the full 60 days. But I said I started noticing things happening after 40 days because I was like, man, I hope something, you know, something happens, you know, because I can't believe I could actually stick through it. But it is very hard. You would think it would be easy to do, but it is not, especially if you have to start over. You know, doing it, you have to do it every day and without missing a day for 60 days.
What are you doing? What exactly are you doing each day?
Well, you lay out the cards, you contemplate each concept that the card, you look at the card and you contemplate each of the concepts of each card. Now it comes with a book that gives you a manual that gives you that each, what each card means. Each one brings to the table. I guess it's maybe energies or understandings or concepts or insights.
Is this for business? Key Vesta for business? Or is that just some one aspect of it?
I do not know. I didn't go any further with Key Vesta. I know they called, it's on the original one's website for Almin.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they actually set it up as to where you had to go and get a license for it. I don't like to participate in all that. It's ridiculous, right? Because I know I completed it. I don't need this piece of paper telling me.
Okay,
and
when did you become a Diamond Reiki master? What year was that, and how long have you been practicing as one? And can you explain to us?
Well, I didn't really. You know what's the funny thing is that every time I was initiated in all these things, I did Reiki for a while, and there was some amazing experiences with some clients with that. And especially with people who I would worked with before, and then they call me and ask me to do this Reiki thing and tell me they have a problem, and then I think they didn't believe in it. I think they thought I was crazy, but it is actually a healing thing. But I think it mostly is more of a conduit, like you're actually a conduit that brings in this energy for this thing. So you're just holding space, right? So you're not actually doing the healing. People don't actually do the healing, that they heal themselves. Once they gain the insights of what they're holding in, like disease is always energy holding in something, like the language of pain. Remember how Almin used to say cancer was resistance to life. And then like the lungs were grief, liver's pain, a
Stomach
pain
and
is the
disgust.
scale. Right, exactly. So those things you held in, you never dealt with. And so if you never clear that, stuck energy, then you'll die from it, because disease is your body's last ditch attempt to give you a sign, hey man, you got to deal with it.
And pancreas is guilt,
You
you
need
were
to deal with
saying.
it, or you're going to die.
Pancreas is guilt, and
Guilt, yes.
gallbladder was anger, is that right?
No, the liver's anger. I'm not sure what the gallbladder is.
I know for sure that she uses that fragrance alchemy thing for patchouli. Patchuli for the anger and
Oh, really?
for
No wonder I
disgust.
like patchouli. I think I was an angry person,
And for
but I never
disgust.
felt like I was an angry person.
For your stomach,
No, I.
for
Oh, the stomach is what you can't stomach, whatever's, you can't handle, you're just not dealing with it, right?
well, what she was doing is using, she does the Egyptian oils, the flowers, and what she was using for that was Queen of the Nile.
Oh yes, the olfactory nerve has a lot to do with all of that. Opens up
Yes.
all the meridians and everything. So it is really good. To heal using that, you can
Yeah,
use
rolling
those
for the
things, and
lungs. Yes. But where does Key Vesta play into all of this? Does it also, is it an
well,
addition
it was supposed to be for manifesting a spiritual government, like for us to be sovereign, spiritual, governing ourselves as a group, as a government, not a the government we have now,
Oh, like a a governing
governing,
sovereign being.
right. And then of course then it's a manifesting system, so you would be manifesting your own, your own reality or your own world. I would suppose that would be what it would mean, because she called it the original ones and a manifesting system. So I was thinking about getting back into that. But they still have the cards and everything up there. But they've upgraded it somehow. There's a they've added to it.
Yes, she
So
does
I'm
that even with Belva Spata and everything. Now, were you initiated into Belva Spata as well?
yeah, a grandmaster at the time when I was initiated. I was flying around the room. I was like, woo! And my friend that was in there with me, she said, I saw you flying around the room. I
For those
was
who
like,
don't know, Belva Spata means the healing of the heart. Now, where she got that name from, I'm not sure, but there's a whole bunch of Lemurian and Atlantean angels that represent the electro and the magnetic aspects of things that we use again, the similar as Key Vesta with sigils and wheels. The sigils are the phone numbers and addresses to these angels, and the wheels are like basically their genetic makeup. But I didn't know about the orbs. I always thought that was the little bubble, their world, like the matrix of their world. You know, that's always what I thought it
well,
was.
it could be, or could be creating a space that they can be in, because those beings that are higher frequency can't get be down around us when you have a lot of negativity or a lot of, they can't really
Well,
be in the same space.
they could, but
So
when
you have to create a space that a
yes.
frequency where they can come in. And
what happens?
help.
What happens if you're on a lower level, really dense level? It's seen as mental illness. And those lower entity beings, they can't make it to higher levels. They kind of hijack.
Right, exactly. And that's why they're trying to keep us in this, because they know we're getting out of here and they don't want to lose their batteries. They don't want to lose their people. And I know that's also probably why they're doing this hybrid program they're doing with the Grays, and which our government agreed to, by the way.
So
that's another whole story. But with Alvin and her Key Vesta, I think, I don't know why there is not more on that, because it seemed like it just kind of fell out away. And then she went on to the other stuff. And I was doing all those classes, the Lemurian, the Irash, Sva, the yoga, and which I had made a video at the time. I took all the pictures out of the book and I made a video, because it's hard to look at this book and do the movements, right? And I was thinking, why didn't they do this?
Is that on your
because
YouTube channel?
They used her daughter. No, I never uploaded it because I didn't want to take away from their, they're making money off of that yoga thing. And I actually sent video to Rohir, but I don't think he ever did anything with it. And I don't think they focused so much on the yoga, but it was a really neat yoga. The last bit of it where it clears your eyes, and your eyesight actually gets better doing that one yoga.
Do you have those videos still?
No. When I did that back then, it was on my old computer. And in the past, it was like 2 years ago after my mom died, me and my sisters got into this huge argument like 10 days after she passed, and they tried to evict me from my mom's home. And they eventually came in with this deed that they got, that they supposedly got, that mom supposedly signed for them, their names, but not our names on the deed. And they took everything of mine and wouldn't give it back to me. I even called them and asked them for my stuff back, begging them, saying, I'm sorry if I hurt you in any way. I wasn't trying to hurt you. I was just standing up for myself, because they were trying to tell me I couldn't have anybody over. I couldn't, you know, I had no ride. They took my mom's car. I mean, it was just horrible what they did. And then they called CPS, they called animal control, they called the police all the time. So it was a full-on attack. I learned a big lesson on that. I learned that family isn't necessarily family. And what lesson are you going to learn is trust. That you have to trust yourself. I mean, it was like I was just full on under the belief that they would never do something like that to me. You know, your own family. So I lost everything that was on my computer. I had 2 terabytes of stuff, of all the Almine stuff and all that stuff I had. Luckily, I had a lot of it on a little disc that I had on my phone, on my phablet. And I had a lot of other stuff that I had uploaded, like photos and other things that I had uploaded on various websites.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
Uh-huh.
What's your YouTube channel called if people want to find you?
I am your muse.
The what?
I am your muse.
Okay.
And that, when I did that channel with YouTube, it was just for fun. I never really thought it would be like, you know, like YouTube has become now. So it used to be a lot of fun. It was just a lot of people uploading videos, creators.
You know, Nancy, you're more than welcome to put this on YouTube on your channel.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Done,
thanks.
I got proof.
Yeah,
I will send it to you email, and then that way you can plug it into your YouTube, and I'll bring some followers and some subscribers your way, and then that will get you motivated to do more.
Well, yeah, I actually do want to do more, and I would love to do. I think that doing those yoga, I think they should have went on and did that, because they could have charged more for those yoga videos.
Well, there you go. I think that this is a good opportunity for you to get started on it. And all Almin really wants is a little bit of credit saying, this is from Almin. Not to
right,
check
yeah,
it
I
and
know.
say it's yours. That's all Almin wants, nothing else.
I never would have done that, but I was working with Rohir at that time with doing some of their websites and things. So, and then I was trying to make a Wikipedia article on her. Oh my God. You think you get attacked on Wikipedia? Fierce. If you even, you know, are somebody in the light. I mean, they all ganged on me and kept picking apart her post that I did on there. And then you know that Wikipedia, you can't block people from changing it. Oh my gosh. You should have seen how the people were attacking her thing, and all she wanted was to have her thing up there. And this one guy who was like an administrator was saying, that's pseudoscience. And I was like, how do you prove it? You know, spiritual experiences. How do you prove healing? How do you prove any of that to people? You know, unless you can get a medical doctor who can say, yes, I diagnosed this. I have physical proof this person had this. And then, you know, without me interfering or giving them drugs, they were healed. You know,
that's just the thing. When you're on the 3D, third density, I suppose, even fourth dimensional, okay, because there's two levels to the fourth. So what happens is that people, you have to prove yourself. You have to prove things to people. But once you ascend to the other levels, there is no such thing as having to prove anything to anybody. And if people resonate to it, that's fine. But when you're in that lower density, it's the old way of making money. So, you know, if you want it, you have to pay for it. And then that's, if you're interested, you're interested. If you're not, then I don't have to prove anything to you. That's how they resolve it, through those kind of boundaries that they create on a financial kind of current. So you have to pay me, and then maybe you'll start respecting me, kind of thing. So that's good that these spiritual,
right. Well, they should absolutely get money for their work. And it's just the same as any other job.
I'm learning
now, whether you were open enough to receive it and you think that nothing happened, there you go. That's because wherever you go, there you are. You doubted that it would help, and you got your wish, right?
Doobie-doobie-doo.
Right. So it's the same with when you want to look at reality and you try to tell, you see where humanity is. And sometimes it's so discouraging. You get overwhelmed because you don't know if you're watching this movie that they say is a movie, or you're actually watching people wake up. Are they waking up? Are they all still on the same page? Are they still believing in that TV box that's spewing your reality? Or are they believing this is not real and this is the movie, and we're gonna take over our lives and whatever, you know?
So what I see here is with so it's the background information and a little bit about the bio that still says, it's jumping out at me, Diamond Reiki Master. Please explain. Let's get a little bit.
Oh, well, there's different levels of Reiki, right? And I don't know if it's much better or any higher or whatever. I was initiated into Reiki. I definitely felt that.
By who?
A Yersi Reiki master who does it online, believe it or not.
Okay.
And the day he said he was sending it to me, oh my God. I had this energy, my kundalini just shot right up to my head. Oh my gosh.
What year was this?
It was like, I think that was probably around 2003, around the same time I started seeing 1111, but I think I started seeing 1111 before that. So.
But why diamond? What is the significance of diamond?
I don't know. That was just that place, these people that were talking about different levels of Reiki. which I was never aware there was different levels of Reiki. But then later on, didn't Almin say that Reiki had become corrupt? And so I just quit even looking into it anymore. I mean, I at the time I remember seeing that Diamond Reiki was supposed to be a higher level, more powerful or something. I don't know, but for me is what I understood Reiki was that you were just the conduit for energy to maintain the space so that person could receive that energy and release the blocks or emotional blocks or whatever and heal themselves. So to
Beautiful.
me, it wasn't just me doing it. It wasn't me doing anything except for holding space for them. So that to me was what Reiki was.
Okay.
Now, Velvasmita is a little more involved where you are opening the space with the wheels, right? You're opening the space and you're maintaining a higher frequency space for the angels to come in and help with whatever they're good at, I guess. And that's why I swear, I still swear you were there. I think that you were there and telling Almin, no, I don't really want to do this Velvasvata, or I don't need to do it because I can do this myself. And I was like, yeah, I agree, because I was thinking, why do we need all these sigils and why do we need the angels? So, yeah.
Okay, that you have people want to reach out to you. You have Make the Matrix Great Again. Is that
Right.
another website?
Yeah, that's when I finally understood about the quantum mechanics and the illusions and just how everything works. And that a lot of that helped with Ashiana Dean. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She wrote the Voyagers books, Voyager 1 and 2, about how we're an angelic humans, the angelic human. And about how it is all is very hard to understand that book. If you try to read it, it just goes. See, when I get information like that or I get some kind of insight, it just comes in and I just have to sit with it for a while. And then I sit, bring it down into your heart center, right? And then you say, is it true? Is that true? Let me look around. Let me see. Let me see how I feel about it. Because truth is felt. It's not just some idea, what you somebody comes and says, this is the truth. I'm gonna say, okay, let me see how I feel about it. I believe you believe. I used to tell my kids that, if you believe, I believe. If you believe, I believe. Because
Find you, make the matrix great again.com.
They can find me there too.
Make the matrix great again.com, and it opens up to a website. And what do we find there?
I've started a blog. I haven't got as far into the blog as I would have liked, but I will get more into it. I've started dedicating more of my time to it in the mornings where I used to not do that in the mornings. And so I'm going to start getting more into that and I'm going to make t-shirts and all that. I'm going to start really working on getting into the marketing of that. Because make the matrix great again, people are probably going to get triggered because that's what Trump would say, make America great again. And they will
Okay.
say, when was America ever great? And I'm like,
And so
well.
I see here too, you have a Facebook profile, www.facebook.com/nancy.haslett.yourmuse/about. Oh, okay. I had about and dash underscore details, but people don't need that. It's nancy.haslett, HAZLETT. Dot your muse. And Nancy is with the N is a capital, and also the H is a capital too when they do it, or can it be small casings?
I don't think it is case sensitive.
Okay.
as far as that goes. I only did it that way so that it's readable. If you're posting it there, and so people could say, okay, well, if you just looked up Make the Matrix Great Again, you would find it.
Okay, and lap dances for Jesus. So that's two different websites, or is it just
Yeah,
one?
and if you look up Lap Dances for Jesus, you will find that on there too as well.
And I notice here that you're saying, okay, donate $33 for free pre-order. Free pre-order for what? Your book?
No, I mean a pre-order of the book. And then that was like 2 years ago when I did that. That was during that whole thing where I was desperate to get money together so I could get out of there. And I was like, oh my gosh, how can I, try to make some revenue, try to get some money in. And that was my offer, is that I would do take pre-orders, and then I would sign their books for them once it was finished and printed out.
So, what is this buy a coffee for your Muse membership? Can you explain that?
Buy a copy of what?
I'm looking at your website right now, Lap Dances for Jesus, and it says buy a coffee for your Muse, and it's showing a cup, $3 each, and one-time membership.
Oh, Ko-fi. Ko-fi is another website you can go donate money to people. Do you don't have a Ko-fi?
No, I
You
don't have
can,
that.
it's like a Facebook kind of, but you have your account there and you have your Ko-fi, and you can do alerts, you can do all kinds of things, you can post videos on there.
Oh,
You don't have
can you send me a link? Can you send can
to.
you email me the link or give it to
Yeah,
me?
you should use it because it would be great for your thing. People can donate a cup of coffee. It's like
That's why
a
I'm
small
asking. Isn't that amazing?
$3, $6 donation to you. And if a lot of people did that, it adds up.
So
So
would you be able to link me up with that thread so I can get on and get in on it?
right, yeah, okay. I'll send that to you. I'll send you that link. That'd be a great thing for you, I think. Because it's
Yes.
not a big amount. It's, people really enjoy your work, and I've donated people because I've enjoyed their work. It's $6 is nothing. I'd be like, okay, $6, here you go. And hey, I enjoyed that video, or I enjoyed that thing you did.
And what I'm noticing here right now, we're going into almost an hour and a half. I think
Oh
we're gonna
my
have
God,
to,
that
yes. So what we're gonna have to do if we continue is make a second episode. So I really want to have you on here again and
okay.
like really, publish your book out there to people so that they can reach out to you and whatever other things to update with, catch up on whatever it is that you're doing in the next episode or segment, perhaps even
Well,
season
I'm
three.
working on that part, the publishing part. That is the trick, but I'm working on that too, so no time. I think I'll have it all squared away. I did get my ISBN number for my ebook, and then so I've got to do more on, getting the other ISBNs for the other for print.
Do you figure that's gonna be?
I do not know. It's gonna be a lot. But this isn't the kind of book where you would read chronologically. So for me, it's kind of like that one book by Carl Jung, where you would just, like an oracle book, right? Where you would just, you would open it up and see whatever it is you're interested in. And then in each chapter, I'll say, if you don't understand what I'm talking about here, go to this chapter and look at that. Because we've been so compartmentalized that if you started from the beginning and went to the end, you might be going around to things that you don't understand and then missing out on understanding.
I find
You
the
see what I
Bible is
mean?
a lot that way.
Yeah, because the Bible was put together by Constantine and those priests, and yeah, they took a lot of books. And they threw them together. They merged paganism and Catholicism. They got rid of the blood ritual sacrifice and turned Jesus into a blood ritual sacrifice. with communion, you know, eating his flesh and drinking his blood.
And see, it's impossible that we can continue this conversation after I stop this. We can
No,
stop.
sure.
Yeah.
You know you can edit it wherever you want. You can cut it off wherever you want.
But I want to send you the raw version of it, and then you do
Okay.
as you want with it. Take clips of it, advertise whatever on your website. This give you full permission to do whatever it is you want with this.
Okay, that'd be great. I
And
can
I'm
do it.
asking for nothing in return because this is something that I do for my ministerial
I'll also
report,
promote you, so
for my
I
licensing
and
as a
I'll get you
rabbi.
hooked up with Ko-Fi, and you know, I mean, you'd be surprised. A lot of people use Ko-Fi, and they've got a lot of ways they advertise for people who are on their
Okay,
platform.
so you have to give me that in return.
Yeah. Well, I will love to, and we will talk again. So when you put your video up, you can edit it for as long as you want. And then you can save for episode two, or you can do whatever.
It is in the new world. We just do things for people. Whoever happens to need our assistance, we give them as much as they need, and then we don't kind of be stuck in that engagement with them, and it's like hold each other back. We move on and let them be and expect
Right.
nothing in return and continue on our journey. This is how
I
it works,
know
folks.
that's the probably at this time we need to stop trying to help people, trying to do things for free. We need to make them understand that this is energy exchange. Whatever you put into it, you will get. And the new financial system, that's what we'll talk about next time in our new financial, in the quantum mechanics and new financial system.
I would love that, and I hope we can talk soon. And let me end this, and then we can talk again after it's starting to, do its thing. And it's been a pleasure, a real blessing to have you on here, Nancy Heslett.
For me too.
Is there any closing, anything you'd like to say?
I just say, go out and be the best you can be. That's all you can do, right?
Thank you so very much, Nancy.
Saturday Night Live.